As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Raptors Reasonablest Podcast. I'm your host, Blake Murphy. Not joining me is Eric Kareen because... well, he's off and also doesn't have a ton of time for the NBA draft. That's my province. It's the province of our guest today, Robel. Robel, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
No, man. Thanks for coming on. It's been wanting to do this since we got you up and running at Raptors Republic. For anyone who hasn't seen Robel's work, he runs a YouTube channel called Sub Me In Coach, which has some great video breakdowns and is focused primarily on draft candidates of late. He's also done some draft profiles through a Raptors lens at Raptors Republic, and then you can check him out on Twitter at Robeltussin, which is an excellent handle. Lots of thoughts on the Raptors and on draft prospects there. How's the last little bit been for you as you kind of ramp up for the draft? Are you doing more and more stuff, or are you kind of like your work's done now and you just want to get next Wednesday here already?
So I'm just so like tired of it. I'm just so exhausted. Like I'm doing one more Halliburton video and then a Q&A for the draft, and then like one more draft steals video, and then I'm just done. Like I'm just moving out to 2021 finally. And that just sounds way more exciting because, you know, I think everyone knows by now that draft has like loaded with talent. So I just can't wait until I'm done.
Yeah, that'll be nice. And then at some point we'll have college basketball and you can actually watch it and, you know, break it down from there where there was a thing recently where like, I guess some of the conferences don't like you using other video clips and stuff. So like, can only do on our end, we can only do that stuff for guys from certain conferences, and it's just like, I don't know, man, it's we've done enough of this stuff now. I'm ready to go too. Like obviously your whole gig is focusing on the draft, and I just kind of have swooped in and leaned on people like you to kind of catch up at the end of the NBA season, but this is because of the pandemic and the long hiatus and everything. Like it's you know, this is probably the most ready I've felt for a draft since the year that the Raptors had 9-27 and worked out like 70 people at OVO Athletic Center. And I was there like every day. So yeah, man, I'm ready to go. I guess at this point, like the rankings you have in your head or who you like better, like none of that's going to change this late in the process for you, right?
Yeah, it's not. Like I just, you know, when there's so much time to just think about, you know, like NBA draft prospects, you tend to kind of like overthink stuff. And I'm trying to like stay away from that. So I'm just like comfortable with what I'm thinking.
That's great. And we're gonna pick your brain on what you're thinking as it pertains to the Raptors. Before we get into Raptor stuff and the 2020 draft, I was curious, Robel, how did you kind of get into doing this and doing your video breakdowns on YouTube initially? And where are you at with it right now? I know you're still in school, but you know, what's kind of the game plan for you, and how did your passions lead you to doing draft breakdowns?
So I was, I'm currently in a sports management program, but I just felt like, just getting like, I'm in college, so it's not like I'm getting a degree. So I just felt like I had to like stand out in other ways. And I was like, how do I do that? And I just always been watching YouTube as a kid because I didn't grow up with like cable. Like, so it's like when you don't have that, you just lean on YouTube. Like that's basically your TV. So I just always just liked the idea of making YouTube videos. And I was just like, why not do that with basketball? And there was like a clear space for it. It was a lot of YouTubers that was making NBA videos and getting like a lot of views. So I was like, okay, I don't see why I can't do this. And then that's how it started.
Man, I'm going to make myself sound really old here, but it is hilarious to hear that you watch YouTube because you didn't have cable, whereas I watch TV because I didn't have the internet until like grade 8. Not because the internet didn't exist. My family just didn't buy the internet until I was in grade 8 or 9. So we had to flip those things. And then you also, I know you don't play in college, but you fancy yourself a like you could beat most of the Raptors beat writers on the court, right?
I don't know. Yeah, probably. I don't know. I think I'm pretty good. I don't know. Like, you know, you never know how, like, you know, what if like one Raptors Republic guy is like 6'5" and like, you know, just like really good. You never know. So I don't like to brag, but I like playing basketball a lot. So it's like, I feel like I have a better insight than some others who might like not really have like, you know, done the same moves and really feel like have a good feel for what's really happening when you're in between those lines. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense to me, man. So in terms of your process, like when you're trying to figure out who you're going to do a video on, or you know, who you're going to break down for Raptors Republic or whatever, how do you go about that? What is your process like? Do you have a board in your head from or on paper somewhere from like watching college throughout the season, and you're like, okay, I want to, you know, this guy's the most interesting to me, this guy's the most interesting to me, or is it kind of like who you think will get the most clicks, or who you think that is, you know, the best fit with the teams you like? How do you choose who to break down?
For my YouTube channel or for like the Raptors?
Either or, man.
So for my YouTube channel, I usually pick guys who I like just like to watch. Like during the hiatus, I just made a Kevin Porter Jr. video just because I like he's one of my favorite players. So that was like literally the only reason I did it. And he's not like a super popular guy. So it's like not like I expected it to do it for views. So yeah, I mean, because you're watching a lot of film, right? So you want to kind of enjoy yourself watching film, so that's why you kind of pick the players that you like. But for like draft prospects, it's kind of, yeah, you're just kind of watching games, and like obviously you hear guys' names, you look at the high school rankings, and you obviously know of guys even coming before high school. And then it's also word of mouth, like, you know, not everyone's watching everything, right? Like,
right.
So when I think Zach Milliner talks about Grant Riller is really good, I'm like, I don't watch Charleston. I wouldn't find out about Grant Riller if it wasn't, you know, for him. So if he says, yo, Grant Riller is like really good, he's a very good finisher, then I'm like, okay, I'll watch him and then see like what my opinion is. So it's kind of that. And then just, yeah, it's like you're watching by yourself, and then you just hear like names float around, and then, you know, give them a try.
Yeah, one of the good things about Twitter is draft Twitter, I mean, all the time is excellent, but especially this time of year, super valuable to catch guys who, you know, you might have a blind spot for otherwise. In terms of when you're scouting a guy and you're obviously, you know, you're thinking about things like upside and fit and floor and stuff like that, when you shift from, hey, I'm going to do, okay, so we'll use the Riller example. So say you're looking at Grant Riller and you want to do a video on Grant Riller. On your YouTube channel, that is going to be targeted at like the whole NBA, like any NBA fan that might be interested in Grant Riller. But then you write a profile of Grant Riller for Raptors Republic. How does what you're doing change when you kind of put a Raptors hat on and come at it from the Raptors perspective? Because like, obviously there are team specific fits and the Raptors have certain types of guys that they like. So do you come at it a little differently and you're like, okay, now I'm not a general scout, now I'm a Raptors scout. How much does that change for you?
It changes a lot. Like, what I usually do is like, I'm naturally always trying to solve problems, right?
Right.
Like as quick as possible. So I look at it from like a problem solving perspective, like what do the Raptors lack and what can this prospect provide that would fill that gap? And then also at the same time, does that prospect have enough upside? Because when you have one of the best development staffs, you know, you don't always want to bring in these undrafted guys to become good, like good rotation players. You want a guy that gets drafted in the late first round and becomes an all-star, you know?
Right.
So you can't like the Matt Thomas, like TD, don't want to say anything good about him right now, but just using him as an example, like those guys are like fine, but they're not all-stars, or like, you know, they're not, just not like high-end starter players. So it's like you want to look for guys that have that upside, and then the risk of them failing is like way less for the Raptors than, let's say, for like a poorly run organization, right? So it's like, well, when you know that, and when you have those, like when you have that advantage, you want to swing for those guys. So that's what I look for as well.
You mentioned, you know, you don't always want to rely on undrafted guys to become rotation players. You want to turn first round picks, even if they're late firsts, into all-stars. Have you found that, and obviously we can't account for everyone in a conversation like this, but have you found that there are some Raptors fans who have started to go too far with devaluing draft picks because they have had success with guys like Fred and Davis? And we kind of, you know, like the Raptors had the number 29 pick in 2020. That's not a super attractive pick, but they got Siakam at 27 and OG at 23, and those are their two highest upside guys. Do you think people lost the thread there a little bit too much and are devaluing some of the first round pick, you know, throw a first in a trade, or the 29 pick's not all that important kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's very lazy, and just they always hold on to that one thing. We then, our whole starting lineup was without lottery picks. Like, we won a championship without lottery picks. And I'm like, all right, how many teams really just do that? Like, honestly.
One ever.
Yeah. And what did it take? It took Kawhi to come here for that to happen. And he obviously was, like, picked in the top 15. But he was
just outside the lottery.
Yeah, he was 15th and still had one of the greatest, like, development curves ever. So it's not like that just happens every year. So it's just very annoying to me. I just think, like, people brushing it off just because of the uncertainty in the draft, but there's uncertainty in free agency and other stuff too. So it's like, that's why I say it's just pretty lazy. And then there's another like side of it, because they just think, yeah, the Raptors are so good developing that anyone could become an all-star. Like, I remember someone was like, when the Raptors like very early on interviewed Zeke Nnaji, and people were saying, oh, Zeke Nnaji is going to be an all-star. I'm like, guys, relax. Like, you know, not everyone just turns into just because you have a Raptors jersey on doesn't mean you're you're gonna be and make an all NBA team. So it's like both sides are just a little bit too erratic, and we just need to come to middle ground.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Zeke Nnaji as an example. In our recent, so this week, John Hollinger, one of our national NBA writers, did his first round mock draft. He's done a bunch of draft stuff leading up to this, and along with Sam Vecenie, who will have a full 60 pick mock draft out, I believe, this coming Monday. In Hollinger's mock draft at number 29, the Raptors did select Zeke Nnaji, and there are some things to like there with him. You know, the shot seems to be coming along, which was pretty predictable when you looked at the form. There's some real potential there. You know, a couple of the names that were left on the board by Hollinger at that point, I maybe like a little bit more, but I wouldn't hate the Nnaji pick. How do you feel about him and his fit with the Raptors? We'll start there since Hollinger mocked him to Toronto.
I didn't see who was after him, so that obviously depends on how I feel about the pick. But I mean, like, you know, like you said, you wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it either. I would, like, you know, look at him more positively, because he is someone that could shoot the ball, and I just always thought he could do it. His like mechanical flaws were fixable to me. So like he takes way too long to like release the shot. But it's so nice to, like, if you just release a little bit earlier, it would go in more, and you'd have more like arc and like just range, and just that, like, you know, that's so, it was so easy to see him shoot, being able to become a 3-point shooter. Like, day one, I already saw it, because you have to look at, he took like long twos, like as a pick and pop guy, he took long twos. So it's not much to take a step back and hit those threes. That was right. My thing. And then he's like, for someone that's like 6'10", 6'11", he moves really well. So it's like, that's really nice to see. Like he runs the floor hard, could get some easy transition buckets there. Has good touch in the paint too. He's good laterally as well, but it's just he has a lot of awareness issues on defense, which I think the Raptors could fix, but he's not someone that's like NBA ready right away. Like he won't be able to be a good defender in a playoff series. So it's like when you hear about that, you're just like, okay, like, you know, he's fast, he's mobile, like he can shoot. Why don't people like him more? And then, like, you know, even I think about that sometimes. And then I go watch the film. I'm just like, seeing him contest shots at the rim is like kind of hurts to see, because he is a little bit soft. Like, I don't think it's an insult. I'm just saying that's like his character. It's just not someone that is going to, he gets finished over way too much and just needs to he needs to be like way more physical to me. And that's just like, that bothers me. Because I think he could be a way more, he could be a way better rim protector than he actually showed. And I think that mentality is very hard to fix. So,
yeah, I mean, the Raptors have had a lot of success bringing guys along offensively. You know, they tend to lean toward more defensive oriented prospects. So we haven't really seen them take a guy like that and try to bring his defense up at quite the same level as they have with guys offense. You mentioned you didn't know who else was on the board with that pick. So right before that pick, the five guys who went before the Raptors pick were Desmond Bane, Jaden McDaniels, Leandro Bolmaro, Malachi Flynn, and Isaiah Stewart. So that means that the next five guys on like the average big board that I have in front of me were Xavier Tillman, Nico Mannion, Devin Dotson, Trey Jones, and Grant Riller. I know you like at least two of those guys a lot. Let's talk about Tillman first, because I do think, you know, if the Raptors decided that they wanted to go the big route at 29, Tillman or Najee is likely the decision they have to make there. Like maybe Precious Achiuwa drops. I don't think he gets down to 29. It looks like it could be a Najee or Tillman situation. I really like Tillman. I know you wrote about him for Raptors Republic. For anyone listening who doesn't know the deal with Tillman, what does he bring to the table, and do you like him better than Zeke?
I think I like Najee better, just slightly better. Tillman was the first prospect that I really liked for the Raptors. Like, as soon as I saw a clip on Twitter, I was just like, oh, I have to watch this guy, because this is just perfect Raptors play. Like, he threw like a skip pass from the post when he got doubled. So I was just like, oh yeah, passing bigs, I need, you know, like I have to know about this guy. So, he's 6'9", I think, a big guy, like 200, probably 270, big, like 265 probably. From Michigan State, him and Cassius Winston were like an amazing duo. And yeah, his passing ability is amazing. He can pass on the post. He's a very good short roll passer. His overall decision making feels astronomical for a big man. And kind of unheard of, so I love that. And on the defensive end, he's a very good rim protector. Not the biggest leaper, but he's very good positionally. Like, he's just I don't like to say smart and high IQ player, but I like to say feel instead. So he's just a very high feel player on both ends and doesn't make mistakes like ever. So the only thing that I worry about is just overall his scoring ability. Like, I feel like the shot is a swing skill, and there's not crazy indicators that – there's not one indicator that I can go off of and say he's going to be a good shooter. For Najee, it was easy. Like, he can shoot – like, he was shooting, like, pick and pops. Like, it's just easy as that. And his free throw percentage wasn't bad. So, his touch is good, but that's – like, I mean, Tillman's touch is good, but that's the only thing I can go off of. His free throw percentage isn't high. He was reluctant to shoot threes. His form isn't bad though, but it's just the reluctance of shooting them. I just don't think I could project him as a good shooter. But the only way he could be one is you just look at his work ethic and you just hope that everyone knows that Tillman has to shoot threes, and even he knows that. So he has this 8 months to work on that. So you hope that he becomes a good shooter. And I know I saw the draft combine video, but I'm not going to scout just off that. But
otherwise, Jordan Nora would be going in the first in the lottery if you're going just off that.
Yeah, but you know, at least he knows that he has to shoot threes and that he will take them. So it's like it's nice to see that. But overall, like, not a super athletic guy, but just a very smart player. Like, I would say, like, kind of gives you the same play style as Marc Gasol, but obviously Mark is like 7 foot. But I think Tillman is more mobile. I do think he has to lose some weight because he is not super mobile as you'd like. So that would like expand his pick and roll coverage ability on defense. So, and like just make him overall faster and continue to work on the floater so he can have more avenues to score. Because, you know, like I said, he's not as vertically explosive as you'd like. And then, yeah, he'd be a very good player. I see him as a the shot has to be there for him to become a starter, but I still see him as a very high end, like, rotation player on any playoff team.
That's great. Yeah. I'm a fan of his game for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Obviously, you know, we started here talking about two bigs, and Hollinger mocked one to the Raptors because Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol, Chris Boucher, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson are all free agents this offseason. There's very likely to be a need at center, even if they retain one of those guys. Are there any other centers that stick or you know, combo bigs, however you want to phrase it, that stick out to you as potentially available at 29 and a good fit for the Raptors? Or are those two, you know, like maybe Jalen Smith or Precious Achiuwa slide, but it doesn't look like that from the current mocks, and Killian Tilly maybe feels like a reach at that point. Is there another big that you'd like for the Raptors at 29?
I will say about Killian Tilly is, like, if the health report is if it looks good, then take him at 29. I would take him over Naji and Tillman if you think he can play on the court. But his injury issues are so bad. Like, it's even before Gonzaga, he had injury issues. So it's like, that's why I don't talk about him a lot as a Raptors prospect. Cause it's just too much, man. Like, if you're a gang, I think he played 3 or 4 years at Gonzaga and he was having issues before that. That's like 6 years of like cost to injury. So it's like something I just can't excite people about, because he is a very good prospect, right? But it's just,
yeah,
the injuries, it's just bad. Like, I don't know if he can be on the court. So but combo bigs, I mean, a lot of people like Tyler Bay, but I feel like it's the same with Tillman. It's like, I don't know how he scores. Like, he's a 6'7" center that's gonna roll to the rim. Like, even though he's athletic, he's still 6'7". Like, 6'7", like 6'9", I can, like, you know, I can work with, but 6'7" gets kind of shaky at that point. And then his defensive playmaking is good to me, but he's not like a super, he doesn't always make great rotations too. So it's not like an elite defender that just needs to work on, you know, like, it's not like Naji where he just has, like, he has to learn, like, he has to be coached. Ty Bay just makes bad decisions. Like, he just makes the wrong decisions. And then the shooting, yeah, people saw, oh, 40% from three. Like, you know, he's a good shooter. But he only took, like, one attempt per game. So he's not a shooter. So I think that's even more of a swing skill for him to be an actual NBA player, because, you know, he is very undersized. And I don't know. Like, he played – like, the only way he scored is in the post, and it's not going to translate to the NBA. So he has to be a good shooter.
Cool. So let's swing it over to guard. The Raptors could also have a need at guard. Fred VanVleet is a free agent. Kyle Lowry is 35 years old and has 1 year left on his deal. And the Raptors played all of last season with just two point guards on the roster, which they probably won't want to do again, no matter what happens with VanVleet. They also play a ton of two-point guard lineups, so you could use a third point guard in the rotation, potentially. I mentioned two guys who were I mentioned a couple guys who were on the board when Hollinger made that pick, and they were Nico Mannion, Devin Dotson, Trey Jones, and Grant Riller, and then Malachi Flynn had gone off the board just before that. I know you're a bit of a Riller guy, but how would you rank that group of guys? Do you like Flynn better than Riller? Do you like one of the other names better than Riller? Or is Riller a pretty natural fit if he's there at 29?
As prospects, Malachi and Flynn are pretty close, but it just depends from like what the team needs. And for Raptors specifically, I would have him easily over Malachi Flynn. It's just, but I mean, we'll talk about really more in depth, but who was the other guys you said? Dotson and Nico and Trey Jones?
Dotson, Nico, and Trey Jones, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's Grant Riller in one tier, and then I'd have Malachi in the second, and then all of those three in the like third tier. That's how I look at them. And so they're all like, yeah, I guess, but it's not like something I'll be excited about. It's like, you know, it's an okay pick to me for all three of those guys. But we could talk about Grant Riller. Like,
I think let's do it.
Everyone knows
that
I want him on the Raptors for such a long time. I even got like aggregated, like on a poll saying like talking about him. So that was crazy.
Was that the first one you did with me at Raptors Republic, or was that Tillman? I can't remember.
No, that was the Riller was the second one.
Okay.
So yeah, So I think everyone just knows that I'm really high on him. I just think he fixes a lot of problems on the Raptors. Like, it was clear as day to see, even before the playoffs, that they had a half court issue, that they just needed someone to be a very good self creator, and that people thought Norm could be that, but you never know what you're really getting from Norm on a day to day basis. So I just thought, I think I need a more level-headed guard that can just blow by everybody and shoot crazy step backs. And I just love his game. I'm like, a lot of people hate people that are from back Twitter, but I kind of have that mindset sometimes. Just watching, like, as a fan of the game, I just like those guys. So I just naturally gravitate towards that. And I just don't think we have a lot of those guys that could just really get their own shot against like guys that are like more lengthier. And just Grant Riller, people say like, yeah, he was playing in a bad conference. But I mean, you never know if it, like, you're never 100% sure if something could translate a lot or not. But I'm going to just say I'm pretty sure like his first step and like his finishing craft and ability is going to translate. Like, he shot like 70% at the rim.
Yeah, like a historically good rate at the rim for a guard, and he's got a little size to him too at 6'3", right? He's not if he were 5'11" or 6 foot, you know, if he were Cassius Winston's size, maybe you have more hesitation about it. But like, he's got the body for it. I think now I guess the questions are, do you think he can hold up well enough defensively that he could play real minutes in a playoff series? Because the Raptors desperately needed someone who could put pressure on the rim during the playoffs. But obviously we know from the Davis experience and from Powell the year prior that Nick Nurse wants a certain defensive floor out of anyone he's going to play in the playoffs.
Yeah. A lot of people gave me like the criticism was that, okay, well, Nurse is not going to play him because he's a bad defender, but he's bad in like the way that he doesn't try. So, like, he had such a huge scoring load that he was, like, he can't do all of that and then expect to be locking down his man. It's just humanly not possible. So, but when he does lock in, sometimes he makes good reads. He's pretty good off the ball. Kind of similarly to LaMelo when they're locked in, they're very good team defenders. And I feel like TD and Norm just are the opposite of that. So that's why they don't play together, because the Raptors defensive scheme is hard to what's it called?
Execute.
Yeah, execute. That's the word. So it's like, if you can't do that, that's why they just didn't get minutes. And I feel like he could, on the ball, he can exist in front of guards. I think he just I think he'll just be passable to me. Don't think he'll be like even like a plus, but I don't think he hurts you that bad. It's not like Lou Williams. When people think bad defender, they think like Lou Williams, Trae Young can get ISO'd every time, just get scored on. It's not like that at all. It's just like not crazy effort at times, which is like some people don't even see on the court. So
yeah. And if your usage rate goes down from like 35% to like 22%, you got a little more juice to dig in on defense.
Exactly. And if you know that Nurse wants people to play defense, then you're gonna lock in because you want minutes as a rookie.
Right.
So that was just my thing. That was my kind of argument to that. So
yeah. And you know, obviously the whole thing too is like, it doesn't, you don't have to score 100 or allow under 100. You just have to win. So if he's adding more on offense than he's taking away on defense, you're probably going to be okay. I want to skip ahead now to some of the guys later in the draft. I'm curious, obviously, at number 59, with a draft that's this flat and wide open, like it seems like every guy not in the top 15 has like a 30 or 40 pick range that they could go in. But I'm wondering if there are any guys that you've looked at as potential second round guys or undrafted guys, and you're like, you know what, that guy fits with the Raptors or with Raptors 905, and then longer term with the Raptors, that could be in the mix at 59. Like guys who, you know, obviously some of these guys might end up getting picked in the 40s or whatever, but like your ideal scenario for who's sitting there at 59 for Toronto.
First, I want to say a lot of these guys I look at and I really like them. It's just there's always a swing skill that they have to hit for them to become NBA players. So number one is Yam Adar. I really like him. I really hope he is at 59. He'd instantly be a fan favorite on the Raptors. He'd probably be stashed or just be – I'd rather just put him in the G League for 1 year because he's a super exciting prospect. He plays like – on the defensive end, he plays like Patrick Beverley, but he doesn't like scream and yell and stuff. He just does his job. Like he'll fluster you as a guard, but then he won't even say anything to like, he won't talk shit. You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like people would love that. And then on offensively, he's pretty good. Like he has a nice handle. He's pretty flashy. Does like, a pass that popped to me is like, he hesitated past a guy and like, do a bounce pass between someone's legs for an assist. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, you know, like someone that plays that hard on defense and has that flash on offense, it's just like, how can you not love this guy? And he has some nice dribble combinations that he can get into a pull up. The shooting has to be good for him to be an actual NBA player. But I would love him as, like, if you draft like a wing or a big in the first round, and then you take Yam Adar in the, like at 59, I feel like he could be a very good backup guard because we're kind of starving for like a bench creator. Like we're having Patrick McCaw and Stanley Johnson be like on the ball, and that's not good for a playoff team. So we need someone.
He's off to a nice start in his season over in Israel as well. He scored 26 points over the his first two games and shot 3 of 7 on threes. So maybe the shot is coming along. The tiniest of tiny samples, but progress anyway. And he's only 19 still.
Yeah, he's very young. So I'm saying, like, you bring him to G League for a year, develop his body too because he is skinny. And I think he could be a meaningful backup guard in the NBA if the shot is, like, passable.
Looking at some wing or forward types, I know that this comparison, like, statistically and from what school they go to and stuff, like, maybe it's a little forced, but a guy when I do so part of the way I try to determine who I'm going to do my draft profiles on and stuff is, like, I'll throw some statistical, like, I'll download all the Basketball Reference data and I'll throw some filters on it and just see who jumps out in a couple different ways. And one guy who kept jumping out this year in similar ways to Pascal Siakam is Lamine Janae. Obviously, you know, not the highest of power conferences, but big, big numbers, good size for a forward. Do you see anything there with him?
Yeah, I would love him at 59 as well. I was actually going to mention him. Not people are going to make that comparison, but like he's not the creator that Pascal is.
No.
At all, right? He like produces a lot. Like he has really crazy stats. So people are like, oh my God, this could be a very good player, but it's like it's not NBA translatable. I do think he's very athletic and has some tools that he could be like a rim running big that does stuff like event creation, like I said, on both ends, and just a very good energy guy that I think could fit very well in the G League at first and then make his way to the NBA and be like a better version, an actual taller version of Rondé. I feel like taller Rondé would actually be like a good solid NBA player. It's just he's just 6'5", so you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, they got away with him basically being a center for long stretches this year. So if he were a little taller, that'd be great, because you know the tough thing is the rebounding when you go that way. And but yeah, you look at a guy Jhené's size and he's 6'8", and you know, has some activity level and stuff. And you know, I think people overstate the degree to which like having good centers isn't important anymore. But if the Raptors end up where they only have like one traditional center this year, you know, you look at some, or I guess moving forward is the better idea, because Jhené would probably need some real 905 time. You know, those lineups with Siakam and Ananobi out there together, if you can get a third switchier piece like that, like Hollis Jefferson with those two when they were 3-4-5 was really effective. So that'd be cool to see. I know Jhené has a way to go defensively to kind of profile like that, but he's a fun name. Any other fun ones you're looking at 59 and hoping they slip?
I didn't really watch a lot of players like around the undrafted. How do I say it?
Right, you're a first round talent. You've got to focus on the first round talent. Yeah. You got to leave the Christian Vitals of the world to other people.
I will say I like Trent Forrest a lot too. He's from FSU, so you automatically know he's good on defense. He gets to the rim a lot. He's like 6'4", 6'5", I'd say. Pretty strong guard, has a very nice floater, makes good decisions to me. He's like a good caretaker of the ball. Just a bigger guard that I think could be a bench creator. The only flaw, like with Yamadar, I think he could be a good shooter. I mean, like an okay shooter. Like I have a pretty high, I think there's a high chance that will happen. With Trent, it's like, I don't know. Like, you know, it's pretty bad. Like his percentages are bad. I think they're like in the 20s. And he has some bad misses, like horrible misses. So if he actually, well, like it's weird because there's 8 months, right? So there's always going to, there's going to be way more chance for unexpected development. So if he comes back with like a jump shot, I think he's a real NBA player. And I would take him I would take a chance on him in the UFDA market, because he's a bigger guy with those skills and he can play make as well.
And for anyone who's analytically inclined as well, friend of the podcast, Jacob Goldstein, who previously of Wins Added, he just announced today that he got hired by the Washington Wizards organization to work with the Wizards and Mystics at Capital City Go-Go. So congratulations to him. But among guys who project to go undrafted by most mock drafts, Forrest is near the top in Jacob's mod, like PIPM-based model that looks at guys' potential upside. So a statistical, we know the Raptors organization, you know, they don't live by the analytics or anything like that, but they're, you know, it's certainly an area they look at, and Forrest could float toward the top of a list like that. Robel, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I'm going to ask you, this doesn't have to be specific to the Raptors. This could just be anyone at all in the draft. Who is the biggest sleeper or the guy that you think is the most undervalued in this draft that a couple years from now you're going to be able to be like, see, I told you, I was right on this guy?
I would say, I'm going to take a stab. I'd say Josh Green.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not like, he's not like an undrafted guy like people probably thought I was going to say. but I think a lot of people are overthinking him. So, people don't even really believe in the spot-up shooting. But I feel he shot 36%. I know he didn't shoot a lot of volume, but it's going to come. Like, I don't think volume shooting, if you already have solid percentages and believe in your jumper, it's, you know, you could just ask him to shoot more, honestly. and I don't, like, you know, I just believe that he's going to be a good spot-up shooter. I don't think that should be questioned. And then, yeah, the finishing is bad. Like, he has no left hand at all. But he's very athletic, especially in the front court. He's a good passer at 6'6". So that, like, he's gonna get some closeouts because I do think he's gonna be a good shooter. And then he's super athletic, so he's super fast too. So he's gonna get to close out, draw another defender, and make an amazing read. So I feel like that's how he's gonna get his offensive value. Good rebounder. He's like a jack of all trades type of guy.
Yeah,
I believe that shot. And then we get to the defensive end, and that's what people don't really talk about, how he's one of the best like point of attack defenders in this draft. Like, it's like Okoro, and then who else? Like, what other wing perimeter defender is there that's better than thing? Like, Vassell is like more of an off ball guy. So Josh Green could really like pester ones, twos, and threes. So I feel like that's very valuable, very good team defender as well. A defensive playmaker there, and then when he goes in transition, that's where the special comes. So, I mean,
well, if that sold you guys, Green is mocked to go in the early to mid 20s on most mocks. So that's the guy, I guess, that you're crossing your finger. One of the guys, anyway, that you're crossing your fingers for potentially sliding a little more than expected to 29. I guess conceivably the Raptors could move up too, but the draft is flat enough that at 29 you're probably going to get a guy you like still. I wanted your take on one more guy who it feels like he's slid a little bit, at least in terms of buzz. I know I said I'd let you go shortly, but Teo, if Teo falls, is he a guy you like?
Yeah, I would like him. Not super excited because he just that type of play style I don't love. Like, yeah, very conservative. Like, you know, that classic European, I'm always going to make the right decision type of stuff. It's not something I like that much, but he's a bigger guard. I like that. He's going to be a good shooting prospect if, like, I mean, you know, he just looks like a good shooting prospect from pull-ups, off movement. And then if he just makes riskier decisions, I feel like he can be unlocked as like a real playmaker. He's already a good passer. I just feel like he could be more assertive with it and be like more manipulative and stuff. But I think all around, he's like a solid guard. I would like him at 59. I would like Grant Riller before him. But after that, I would say Theo. Like, Theo and Malachi, like I said before, in that tier, like, both of those guys are in that tier to me.
Yeah, you mentioned the lack of, you know, mistakes, and that's something that I think gets forgotten sometimes, is that mistakes aren't always a bad thing for a guard prospect. You want guys taking risks and figuring out exactly just how far they could push their game and how creative they can get. Robel, thank you so much for doing this, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, man. It was fun.
And you guys can check Robel's workout at Sub Me In Coach, his YouTube channel where he does some great draft breakdowns, Raptors Republic where he's done some Raptors specific work, and then a must follow in draft season at Robletussin, which is one of my favorite handles, man. That's an excellent Twitter handle.
One day I'll tell the story. That it's a very fun story how I got that.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for doing this, and enjoy the draft next week.
Yeah, you too, man.